At the G7 summit in Sicily today, the Italian prime minister pushed for a strong statement on climate change. But on the sidelines, President Trump's economic advisor told reporters that if measures to curtail global warming slow down the U.S. economy, quote, growing our economy is going to win. And Trump said, great win in Montana, referring to Republican Greg Gianforte's special election victory last night, a day after body slamming a reporter. Lots to talk about in our politics roundtable. And joining us today, Beth Fooey, senior politics editor at NBC News and MSNBC. She's in New York. Hi, Beth.
Hey there.
And joining us from Miami is Enrique Acevedo, news anchor at Univision. Hi, Enrique.
Hey, Jeremy.
And let's start with Montana and what just happened there. And the speech that we got from Greg Gianforte was an apology. Let's listen.
I took an action that I can't take back. And I'm not proud of what happened. I should not have responded in the way that I did. And for that, I'm sorry.
And you're forgiven.
Beth, what do you make of that victory after what we saw?
Well, keep in mind, it's an early voting state, Montana, and folks had been voting there since April 24th. So actually, most of the vote had already been cast by the time Greg Gianforte threw that punch and pushed the reporter to the ground. I don't like the term body slamming because that makes it sound a little bit more benign than what it actually was. So in any case, if people were going to be influenced by that action, many of them had already voted. So it was a little bit of a moot point for lots of voters there. What I was particularly struck by, and you know, props to Mr. Gianforte for finally apologizing, but the night before, the night of the incident, his spokesman had actually blamed the reporter, called him a liberal journalist who had used aggressive behavior toward Mr. Gianforte. And Mr. Gianforte basically, based on what he said, completely refuted what his spokesman had said. I mean, going forward, what does this mean for politics? It was a very red district. It was going to be tough to flip anyway. Mr. Gianforte is now going to go to Congress, where he's going to run into a lot of reporters asking him questions about health care and the CBO score and all the issues that apparently had concerned him that this reporter had brought up. So it's going to be an interesting exposure for Mr. Gianforte to go to Washington. And it's a lesson for Democrats and Republicans. You know, Democrats still haven't won one of these special elections, even though there's lots of energy on their side. But Republicans need to be concerned because even in these very red districts, Democrats are making up a lot of ground and showing that they could clip off some of that margin in some new places and, you know, potentially score some wins in 2018.
Well, Enrique, when you take this incident and you put it together with the journalist who was arrested in West Virginia for asking a question of one of the cabinet members, and also all of the things that President Trump has been saying about journalists, what do you think?
Well, Jeremy, remember for us, this started during the primaries when my colleague Jorge Ramos was removed from a press conference. And, you know, I think just to add quickly to what Beth was saying, of course, the aggression against Ben Jacobs is not an isolated incident. There's a global trend when it comes to violence against journalists, just looking at the killing of reporters across the border in Mexico. And this is something the president should keep in mind when he calls journalists the enemies of the American people. And also about the result in Montana, I hope that by now Democrats understand that they need a message that connects with voters beyond this idea of vote for me because the other guy is acting crazy.
All right. Well, the Russia investigation story continues. And now there is news that President Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, is willing to cooperate with investigators. He's been called a person of interest. Where are we with that right now, Beth, the whole story? Because as President Trump's been out of the country, it's gotten less attention.
Well, yes and no. NBC was one of the organizations that broke that story about Jared Kushner yesterday. We've been plugging away, as have most other news organizations, because really every single day brings some new revelation. Now, still nothing that ties directly to Trump and perhaps never will. But it's become clear that many people in his orbit had a relationship with Russia and Russian officials through the campaign and then into the transition. We know that Paul Manafort and Mike Flynn are under particular scope here. The news about Jared Kushner is very interesting. It doesn't appear that he is a target of an investigation. At least that's not what our reporting is showing. But that he has some knowledge that might be helpful to the investigation. This takes it right into the White House, right into Donald Trump's family. This does take it a step further, and we just need to see where the reporting goes and where the investigation goes. We have folks in the Justice Department, obviously, who are looking into this. We have Robert Mueller. We have congressional investigators. investigations on both the Senate and House side, and it does appear that if there's going to be something that needs to be found, it will be uncovered, whether through those official channels or through aggressive reporting.
And we have the former Republican Speaker of the House, John Boehner, saying this week that aside from foreign policy, the Trump presidency has been a complete disaster. We spoke this week with former White House Chief of Staff Leon Panetta, who said it's a question in everybody's mind whether Trump will serve out his full term. Enrique, your thoughts on this, and do you expect any big changes coming to the White House when the president gets back from Europe?
I get the sense that what worries Trump's team the most about this investigation is the possibility that it expands beyond Russia, that during the course of the investigation, people start finding other things that become potentially even more damaging. And this administration has not erred on the side of transparency. The investigation will force them to reveal many things that they didn't want to reveal, and that's why they are putting together this task force and trying to respond to the Russian investigation more promptly, more efficiently.
Go ahead.
And
Beth.
Jeremy, I was going to say, to your point about whether this president's going to serve out his term, I think it's really way premature to even be having that conversation. If nothing else, we all learned from the election not to underestimate Donald Trump. He's got tremendous resilience. He's tremendously focused on winning. He wants to win. He wants to succeed in this job. He's got a very, very large supportive base. It's not the majority of the country, perhaps, but to the extent that he's got a very enthusiastic base, it's large enough that members of Congress, Republican members of Congress, have taken considerable notice. So let's sort of see how things go and see how he does before we start predicting that he's not going to serve out his term.
All right. Well, on his first foreign trip, he had no solo news conferences. He gave some speeches. He chastised our NATO allies at NATO headquarters for not paying their share of common defense as stipulated. Let's listen.
If NATO countries made their full and complete contributions, then NATO would be even stronger than it is today, especially from the threat of terrorism.
So NATO countries are supposed to pay or spend 2% of their GDP on defense. The countries that do that in NATO are the U.S., Greece, Estonia, the U.K., and Poland. How would you rate, Enrique, his first foreign trip? If you looked at the leaders of the other countries when he was saying that, they were not happy. But what about overall? How did his first foreign trip go so far?
Well, like everything in life, I think it depends on what your expectation of the trip was. So for the administration, I'm sure they will call this a win. They got most of the things that they were hoping to achieve. Billions of dollars in military spending from Saudi Arabia, a commitment to fight terrorism, this idea of asking everyone in NATO to pay their share of defense spending. I think Trump did a good job of putting forward the idea of America first, even if he took pushing the prime minister of Montenegro to the side during a photo op.
Right.
They even got a photo op with the Pope. I just mentioned all those things. I think that achieves a tactical goal. I don't know if in the more strategic long term, this trip will add value to U.S. interests across the world.
Hmm. Beth, I have to bring us back to Washington because actually a lot did happen while the president was away, including the Congressional Budget Office scoring the revised House health care plan from Republicans and saying that it would leave almost as many Americans uninsured as in the original plan, 23 million versus 24 million. What do Republicans do now that they've got that score? What happens with health care?
Well, as interesting and noteworthy as that score was, we already knew that the House version of health care was pretty much dead. It had moved into the Senate. Many senators on the Republican side had already indicated that the House plan really wasn't going to go anywhere in the Senate anyway. So the question is whether the Senate can resurrect this plan in such a way that it can achieve the goals that the Republicans want, which is to get rid of Obamacare, the former president's signature accomplishment, and yet cover the same number of people who are covered now, not discriminate against people with pre-existing conditions. conditions, bring down the deficit, bring down premiums, all sorts of things that are going to be very, very difficult. And it's going to remains to be seen whether Republicans in the Senate have the savvy and the willingness to go through with this. It's a huge risk. We've already seen Republicans across the country meeting very, very angry constituents, these town hall meetings. The Congress is out next week for a holiday, and they will be at home. They will be seeing how their constituents are reacting to the notion of a newly created Republican plan in the Senate, and they'll have to decide at that point what they want to do. The Senate has a very narrow margin for error. There's only Mitch McConnell can only afford to lose 3 Republican votes, and right now he said this week he doesn't have the votes yet to pass something new. So we're at the beginning of a very long process, I think.
And we're at the end of our segment, and we didn't even get to Hillary Clinton speaking at the Wellesley College commencement today. We'll have to save that for next week. Beth Fooey, senior politics editor at NBC News and MSNBC, and Enrique Acevedo, news anchor at Univision. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you so much.